Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. We've got Jared Cassidy live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. I'm signing in from Cincinnati this morning, doing a little virtual show. We're going to talk all things on this episode of the Michelle Knezovic Show. We are going to talk Titans because, Jared, it is game day in Nashville. The Tennessee Titans have their first preseason game in Nissan tonight at 6 p.m. with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've been practicing with them all week. Finally going to see those two teams hit the field tonight in Nissan Stadium. I'm going to give you all the headlines. We're going to have Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. He's going to join us next segment. We're going to preview the game, talk about which rookies we saw some things from in practice this week and are looking for them to translate onto the field. We're going to talk some position battles, the DBs back there. That's been, you know, a big battle with Caleb Farley, Roger McCreary. So much to talk about, Jared. But first off, I need to highlight some U.S. Open tennis because I drove down to Cincinnati. I drove up to Cincinnati yesterday and got the opportunity to watch some tennis here at the Western Southern Open. Some of the best tennis players, men's and women, in the entire world. And I don't think I've ever appreciated this sport as much as I did last night. And I got to give a big shout out to my Uncle Al because, you know, his company was sponsoring this event. So we got some pretty sick seats and just sitting, you know, front row to an event like this. And when you watch tennis on TV, it just doesn't give it justice. But if you ever have an opportunity, or you're near Cincinnati, they have a beautiful facility here in Mason, Ohio, and the Western Southern Open, it was pretty incredible. I sent you some videos last night, but I never thought, you know, a tennis environment could get pretty rowdy. It was pretty awesome last night, Jared.
Yeah, I told you last week, it's like a niche sport, right? Like some people, it's a lot like golf. Like I love golf, but not everybody does. They say it's boring. Tennis is viewed as boring, but it's very upbeat. And especially if you get the lively people that, you know, will go at the refs a little bit because that's what we like to see, right?
Well, and there's a young guy, he's 19, he's from Spain. He ended up losing last night, Carlos Alcaraz.
I did see your video on that.
Yeah, and I was actually sitting right next to his coach and I could see him, you know, coaching him from the sidelines, kind of giving him signals, but always really cool just to experience a new sport, a new set of fan bases. So if people out there, you know, ever get the chance to see a tennis event like this, I had no idea that they even had a facility like this in Cincinnati. I am a little sad because Serena Williams ended up losing. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, so I did end up missing her, but it's been going on all week, and it was worth being up for about, I think, 22 hours yesterday to see that live in person. So pretty cool in Cincinnati yesterday. But listen, if you listen to this show or if you're a first-time listener, you know how we like to start every Saturday morning. We've got our morning brew, so grab your coffee. If you're watching on the stream, our video stream, you can watch us live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, driven by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are always streaming Monday through Friday, all of our shows, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then, of course, on Saturday, we'll be live here from 9 to 10 a.m. Jared, I was very, very happy because I'm in Eastern time right now. So I got that little extra hour of sleep. So it's 10 a.m. over here.
Must be nice.
Yeah, definitely nice. Starting our morning brew off, we're going to start right here in Nashville. We're going to start with the Tennessee Titans. This week, they had joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Some of the headlines coming into practices were that Tom Brady was not coming, which there's a whole story surrounding that. We're not really exactly sure why he didn't come or why he's taking this very, very long break. But listen, he's Tom Brady, and if he wants something, he pretty much gets it in this league. So Tom Brady didn't make the trip to Nashville. It's not going to be in the preseason game tonight and is supposed to join the team after this game. But Todd Bowles spoke this week to the media and doesn't seem too sure really when he's going to join the team. But listen, if you're a Bucs fan or Tom Brady fan, I wouldn't be worried. Tom Brady is the ultimate competitor. So he'll be there week one. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. So coming into this, a lot of their star players didn't make the trip to Nashville. And we were kind of, some of the media members just a little unsure of, okay, so how can we really measure this practice. But listen, the way I look at it is these guys out there, they're still NFL quality guys. They're still guys who are, you know, rookies who are looking to get maybe a starting spot, who are rookies, maybe looking to get a second string spot. So I think one of the biggest takeaways was honestly the defense. They really, really dominated. I think it was kind of funny. Jeffrey Simmons, after they got off practice, somebody asked Jeffrey Simmons, so would you guys consider like you won the day, like your defense won the day? And he kind of just like, you know, laughed it off and was like, yeah, we got work to do. So his, you know, PR answer of, I'm not going to say yes, but I'm going to give you a little.
That comes from Vrabel, right? Like, you think that's like coming down from him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think too, just probably try not to get too high on that, right? It's just a practice. You got the next one coming up. Jeffrey Simmons also got into a little bit of a scuffle. No fights the first day, but the second day, a little bit of a scuffle. I didn't end up seeing it. I kind of got to practice a little bit later, but Vrabel definitely was not happy about that. Somebody brought it up in the post-game press conference, and he basically was like, we don't like to do dumb bleep to hurt the team. And that's usually his classic line whenever it comes to penalties, something that's going to affect the team that can easily be avoided. Next biggest topic, and honestly what I think most of our shows have been talking about all week, is what is going on with this backup quarterback situation. You've got Logan Woodside, you've got Malik Willis, obviously a rookie, and if you're a Tennessee Titan fan, you do not want him to be your backup. You want him to solely be a rookie. You want him to immerse himself into this offense and into the NFL. Just making that transition alone is huge. And he's not ready. If you watch the Tennessee Titans, if you've watched their practices, if you've watched their preseason games, he is not ready, point blank. I'm not saying that he won't be ready, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, we don't know. But right now, the starting quarterback position is Ryan Tannehill's and Ryan Tannehill's only. But when it comes to the backup position, you've got Logan Woodside, who I would say in practice, you know, did what he's always done, right? He's been a game manager, and I haven't really kind of looked twice at him as if Malik Willis could even compete for that spot until the preseason game in Baltimore when he threw the picks, when Coach Vrabel took Malik Willis out, put Logan Woodside in, and Logan Woodside did not perform well. And I think since that game, we've kind of seen a trend of that and in practice. So I don't think Malik Willis should be the backup quarterback, but I think that it wouldn't be crazy if the Tennessee Titans, you know, wanted to look for somebody at a backup quarterback position. I was having a conversation with Junie. We do a podcast together called Hail Marys and Hot Takes, solely on the NFL. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, all of those platforms. But we had the conversation of, you know, what if something in the air, what if Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, right? That is the last person on your roster you want to get hurt. We saw the Tennessee Titans affected so much last year with all of the injuries they had. Knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill didn't get injured, but we've seen a pass with Ryan Tannehill in Miami. He got injured a bit. Heading into this year, I just don't think that Logan Woodside will be a sufficient backup quarterback. I think that there are other guys out there that you could potentially get who have, you know, had a little bit of success in this league. The first one that comes to mind is, you know, taking a look up into Pittsburgh. Right now, they've got three guys battling for that quarterback position. You've got Mitch Trubisky, you've got Kenny Pickett, the rookie, and you've got Mason Rudolph, who we saw Mason Rudolph take over the starting job a little bit when Ben Roethlisberger was on and off. And I don't know. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to go out and get somebody just because, you know, Vrabel has been so vocal about how much they really like Logan Woodside, how much he fits into this culture, he fits into this offense, and he studies and he's a hard worker. But the way I look at this team is you have all the pieces right now. And if your quarterback goes down, I think that they would need to look to upgrade at that position because I just don't think Malik Willis is ready. Moving on, another position battle. Nicholas Petitfrere versus Dylan Radins for that right tackle position. I still have no idea who is going to start for right tackle week one. We've kind of seen both of them split reps. We've seen Dylan Radins in the preseason game, and pretty much all week on our shows, we've played some audio from Trevor Maddich, basically, you know, saying how bad a specific play was by Dylan Radins and how he essentially got destroyed and his legs were in the air. And, you know, Trevor Maddich played on the offensive line in the NFL. So I didn't see that in a game, but I trust a guy like that who watches the O-line that closely and for him to go in specific detail of what he saw from Dylan Radins. So Dylan Radins has been a huge question mark for this Tennessee Titans team for over almost 2 years now, right? We thought last year that he would get that position. Now you've got Nicholas Petitfrere, who's a rookie coming in, who I actually think could challenge for that position. I think that the guy, he's a very intellectual guy. Whenever you speak to him, you can just tell he's a huge guy. He's got the physique and he is competing for that position, but he is still a rookie. I think that a positive of kind of having a question mark under that right tackle position is that Nate Davis at guard right there, who you're going to be working in tandem with, he is coming back healthier this year. Last year, he had COVID twice and he just was not healthy throughout the entire season. So that is definitely going to be something that I'm going to be looking out for in the Tampa game tonight. I think right tackle is going to be a huge position that we are looking out for. Two other positions really quick. I think I really want to look at the corners in the secondary. I want to see Roger McCreary and I want to see Caleb Farley out there today, especially Caleb Farley, because he had some up and down days this week. But I think what's important that you're going to want to see from him is being able to stack days. Coming up next, Ben Arthur from the Tennessean covers the Tennessee Titans. Covers everything for them. He was in Baltimore. He's going to be covering the game tonight. He's at training camp every single day. He's going to join us next on the Michelle Knezovic Show. You are listening to 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and on the Game Nashville app.
Mike, why has the rep count decreased for Logan?
Because, you know, I just think that we have to continue to develop Malik in this system. And we've had conversations with Logan about, you know, his opportunity to compete, but I also feel like, you know, we have to try to see, you know, how quickly we can bring Malik along. And I think that would be the reason why.
That was Mike Vrabel during training camp this past week when asked about the backup quarterback position. Could Malik Willis develop enough in order to compete for that role? Welcome back into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined by Jared Cassidy. You're listening to The Game on 102.5, 106.3, The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, by the law. Sponsored by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, call or text us 615-737-1025. And then we go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we welcome in Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Ben, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Michelle. How are you doing?
Listen, Ben, I'm doing great. We've got the first game in Nissan today. You excited?
Yeah, it's exciting to be back at the stadium. Obviously, they've had a preseason game already, but in terms of doing, you know, the whole routine back in Nashville, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Already thinking through my whole game day routine, and it's not just preseason for the players, right? It's kind of, I look at it as preseason for me in terms of kind of getting used to the whole rhythm of kind of getting ready for the game and all that. So definitely looking forward to tonight's game.
So, Ben, I'm sure you heard the sound that came back in from this last break on Mike Vrabel speaking on, you know, why Malik Willis has gotten more reps out there. And after we saw Logan Woodside perform in the Baltimore game, you were at the Baltimore game. Do you think that Malik Willis has a chance to get that backup quarterback position? Do you think that the Tennessee Titans could go out and sign a different backup quarterback? What do you think is going on for that specific role right now?
Yeah, I think Malik definitely has a chance at that QB2 role, and I think that Baltimore game certainly opened up the door for him more. I think, it, asking me right now, I still think that the Titans keep three quarterbacks, and I don't know, that could be Logan. Maybe they find another veteran if Logan has another bad preseason game. That could happen. But I think right now, and I think that was really evident in that clip you just played, the Titans really need to see Malik run the Titans offense, to see him develop in that regard, throw the ball when certain reads, kind of going through that whole progression progress before using that dynamic running ability that he has. We all know he has that at the back of his pocket, but that was a challenge. That was how kind of challenged Malik in that first preseason game. He wasn't really throwing it as much as the Titans had wanted him to, so they took him out and put Logan in. And so that's just kind of that's just the Titans wanting to bring Malik along in terms of, like, in worst case scenario, if something happens to Ryan, can we feel confident enough throwing Malik in there and kind of running our system? We know he's a dynamic special talent, but at the same time, he needs to be able to run our offense and get through his first, second, third read before feeling like he needs to use his legs. And so that's kind of where I think that situation is at. Again, if you kind of ask me, I think they keep three quarterbacks. But I think that there is certainly a world, especially now, and if Logan maybe continues to struggle, that the Titans have Malik as kind of their top backup.
We've got Ben Arthur with us from the Tennessean. Ben, sticking with the Malik Willis, you know, he makes preseason a lot more exciting because whenever you draft a quarterback, obviously, you know, fans jump to the extreme of he's going to be our starting quarterback right away. But it's very, very evident that that is Ryan Tannehill's position, as that is not changing anytime soon. What do you think that you need to see from Malik Willis to maybe change your mind about him being even closer to that backup position tonight?
Yeah, I think I want to see more of that timing, right? Like even when he did throw the ball in that first preseason game, the timing was a little off, or maybe the accuracy was a little off. Maybe he held the ball a little too long at times. I think there was a stat from Next Gen Stats. He held the ball close to 4 seconds, I believe. It was 3.9 or something. It was like the longest time, like, holding the ball up through that point in the preseason, like, for a quarterback. In the pocket, and that cannot happen, right, in the NFL regular season with how fast things are moving. You cannot get away with holding the ball that long. So I think getting rid of the ball quicker with timing and accuracy and kind of making that right decision, something Mike Vrabel has talked about since the beginning of training camp. So I think that's kind of number one. And I do want to see him kind of throw the ball more, right? Like I said earlier, like we all know that dynamic ability to create plays out of nothing when plays break down with his legs. But kind of the consistent play in, play out of kind of making the right read with his arm, I think that's definitely something that I'm looking to see. So I would say those two things with Malik, I'm going to be, like, particularly focused on.
Yeah, I can completely agree with that, Ben. I mean, we've seen the videos, whether it be from him in college, from him training, and we've even seen some glimpses of it in practice. But I think it's that healthy balance of just being able to, you know, match, and he's touched on this, you know, matching his head, his brain, and what he wants to do to having his muscles and his body actually match up with that. And personally, I think what I've seen from him is more promising than I thought. And it's really just a matter of, you know, getting him slowly but surely into the offense a little bit more. We saw a little glimpse of the Tennessee Titans and the Bucks this week during joint practices. Ben, was there any specific player on either team that stuck out to you that you think performed essentially well?
Yeah, I would say Kyle Phillips. And he's a guy mm-hmm. who I think everyone is kind of talked about at this point. But, man, he just continues to get open. It doesn't matter what's going on, whether it's one-on-ones, two-on-two, red zone, low red zone, where kind of that space is really tight and you really see how quickly and how well a guy can get open in limited space. I mean, Kyle Phillips just continues to check every box. I mean, he has the makings of potentially being a great slot receiver. He dominated the Bucks at times, just like how he's kind of won a lot of battles with the Titans DBs. He's just really fun to watch. He's a guy that Ryan Tannehill mm-hmm. continues to show a lot of trust in. He's getting a ton of targets in team periods, like beyond Austin Hooper and Robert Woods when he's out there. Kyle Phillips is probably that next guy, honestly. I expect him to have a really significant role in the offense. I think the fact that he only played, what was it, three or four offensive snaps in the preseason opener, that kind of showed everyone yeah. that, look, Kyle Phillips has already showed us enough, even as a rookie, and we don't want to put him out there. So he's a guy whose stock continues to trend upward, and I'm really looking forward to watching him play in the regular season to see if he can kind of take that dominance he's really shown in the practice setting into games where it counts, right? Where it's going to start stacking onto kind of the win-loss column. So yeah, that's kind of the guy for me. I mean, he's been probably my favorite guy to watch in this rookie class. And there have been a couple really good guys in this class, but Kyle Phillips has definitely stood out. And he would probably be my guy from the Titans-Bucks joint practices that I think people should really continue to pay attention to.
Well, and I think you mentioned too, he's such a fun guy in practice to watch because he is so incredibly quick. And I love what you just said there, Ben, because I completely agree. And I've been saying this week that I think that he could be your number three guy for Ryan Tannehill. I think that Robert Woods and, well, I think Austin Hooper could be number one for Tannehill, but Kyle Phillips is right up there and has definitely been a surprise and really fill that slot position. I think if we don't see a lot of him tonight, it's pretty much, I mean, I already think he's a lock for the roster, so probably won't see too much of him tonight. But switching over to defense really quick, Ben, what do you need to see from Caleb Farley tonight? This week, we kind of saw him, you know, have an up and down couple of days. Mike Vrabel said, you know, he didn't have his best day. But what do you need to see with him in tonight's game to know that he can stack days and be a consistent in that secondary for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, it's that word you use, Michelle, consistency. He had a bad first day of joint practices. He had a good second day of joint practices in that first preseason game. There were some good moments, but there were definitely some teachable moments as well at Baltimore. I think that's what the Titans want to see, just kind of continue to stack those days, to continue to see consistency, because playing cornerback is one of the toughest positions in the mm-hmm. NFL, right? Like there are going to be a lot of plays where you could get burnt, and things like that. It's always about kind of how you come back the next rep, the next play, and lock down a guy. And so that's what I'm looking forward to seeing with Caleb. Like, can he continue to just show that consistency? I mean, we always kind of have to remind ourselves that he's like, he tore his ACL like 10 months ago. He's a guy who hasn't played a lot of cornerback. He began his career as a receiver. He only really has a few years of cornerback experience, and then he also opted out that last year, I think, at Virginia Tech as a COVID opt-out. And so,
yes.
And then he also had the injury issue. So he's a guy who hasn't played a lot of football. the last several years. He's a guy who hasn't been a cornerback that long, and he's a guy who's coming off a torn ACL. And so I think for him, it's he may be 100% in terms of how the knee is feeling. He's obviously been out of the knee brace for a while, but in terms of being himself, I think he's still trying to work his way through that. And so finding a level of consistency is what I'm looking for. And that's just going to come from more reps, right? Like just him being thrown out there, put in the fire. He had some learning moments against Julio Jones this week, I thought. So I think that's just the big thing for him. And we all know he has the tools to be really great. I mean, he's a really big corner with great speed, a good instincts, long arms. So he kind of shows everything that you like. And from what the Titans coaches and his teammates have said, he's really made some positive strides. But it's kind of just being out there, taking more and more reps. I think that's something I'll be watching for. Like in that first preseason game, he actually played, I felt like, a lot more than what a lot of people expected. Even he got a handful of snaps on special teams, which I don't think people kind of anticipated. And so it's really just a matter of him continuing just to play football, because he hasn't really played a whole lot of it the last few years.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Ben, see you in the press box tonight.
Sounds good, Michelle. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Ben. That was Ben Arthur from the Tennessean, covers the Tennessee Titans, and we'll be covering the game tonight. We're going to dive deeper into one thing that Ben said that I think is going to play a significant role in this offense this year. You're listening to the Michelle Gnezovic Show on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game Nashville app. You belong among the wildflowers. You belong. Welcome back in the Michelle Gnezovic Show. I'm Michelle Gnezovic. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Driven by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, text, call. We love all of it. 615-737-1025. Jared, that any country song just makes me think of SEC football, and I can't believe I've gone this far in the show without mentioning that this is the last Saturday until December. We will not have SEC football. How amazing is that?
It's hard to find words. It's here. It's right around the corner. All we got to get through is just a couple of more days.
And really quick, we've got a Titans game today in Nissan
True.
Stadium for you, Nashville, and we are just running full speed ahead into football season, and I could not be more excited. I'm so excited for fall. It's my favorite season ever, especially with college football, the Tennessee Titans, covering them all training camp. And it has been like, it hasn't been a sprint, but it's very much been a marathon of like every day, slowly but surely, until we finally get into the season and things start to ramp up a little bit. Quickly, I can't believe I forgot to mention this. Happy National Radio Day, Jared, and everybody listening, and everybody who works in radio, and everybody who loves radio. Pretty exciting day. I had to mention it.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely, following your passion. This is why we do it.
This is why we do it. Exactly. I teased a little bit before the break. We had an interview with Ben Arthur of the Tennessean. Of a specific player that I think could be a game changer for the Tennessee Titans this year. And it's Kyle Phillips. Jared, I don't know if you've seen any of these videos coming out of training camp, but this guy is so quick. And I swear, every one-on-one drill he did with the Bucks, and then also when it's just the Titans practicing, this guy is speedy quick. I think Mike Vrabel's comment was he's faster than a bunny with a hammer. I got to find the exact quote of Mike Vrabel, but it was something funny like that. This guy he's like a little point guard out there just breaking everybody's ankles. All these DBs are like, they just can't keep up with him. This guy is so freakishly quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see him in some all action, live bullets firing at him at the time. I think that he could be a big key to this. you know, the outside of the obvious ones, like, you know, we want to see the impact of Burks and, you know, we want to see what Robert Woods has, you know, all these other people that we have. But the thing is like the guys on the bench and the secondary people in receiving core, that's who we're going to see now in these next, today and the next game. So, I mean, that this is the proving ground. And I think that he has done enough, though, that he is kind of cemented himself in there for the time being.
No, I completely agree. I actually don't think that we're going to see a lot from Kyle Phillips tonight. Ben Arthur mentioned, we had him on last segment, that I think he only had...
Yeah, he said four snaps.
Three or four. Yeah, yep. I was going to say three or four snaps. And when you see something like that happen, you can pretty much in your head just check off, okay, he's a lock for the season. We don't need to see much more from him. But if you've been seeing it from, you know, Ryan Tannehill in camp, you can tell that Kyle Phillips is one of the guys he feels very, very comfortable with. And it's just ironic because coming into camp, right, where everybody was talking about Treylon Burks and how, right, he was their first round draft pick and he had all this hype surrounding him. And then there was also a lot of questions surrounding him, you know, whether his game would translate to the NFL. And here comes little Kyle Phillips from UCLA, little speedy guy, has just turned heads left and right at practice. And Ben mentioned that he thinks that Kyle could be, you know, the third target for Tannehill. I completely agree. I think that we know that Ryan Tannehill loves his tight end from the Arthur Smith days and what we saw then, and the offense is really targeting those tight ends. And you can just tell it makes Ryan Tannehill more comfortable when he has more options out there. I mean, it makes any quarterback more comfortable when they have more guys to throw to on the field and more guys they feel comfortable throwing to on the field. So you've seen that chemistry be built between Austin Hooper and Ryan Tannehill. We know that Robert Woods is going to be a solid receiver. He looks great coming off that ACL injury. We saw what he did with the LA Rams a little bit last season. And him and, I mean, as soon as he got put on this Tennessee roster, he came, did his rehab year, and has fully immersed himself in this franchise. And we've just seen him and Ryan Tannehill really, really gain that chemistry. And I think that was one of the things that was just lacking with Julio Jones last year, was he was just injured so much. A veteran guy coming in, you know that Julio Jones is going to be a Hall of Fame receiver. And that was just one of the downfalls, was that he just couldn't stay on the field and they didn't have that time in preseason to even build that chemistry together. I remember doing an interview with Joe Rexroad after training camp one day, and I said, should we be worried that AJ Brown and Julio Jones can't stay on the field and are just so inconsistent in training camp because one day they're on, one day they're off? But I think one of the biggest takeaways from the training camp this year is that, especially Ryan Tannehill coming off the season that he had, is all of his guys have been there day in and day out. We have seen consistently Austin Hooper, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, and Racy McMath, a guy who last year, you know, we thought could have been in this receiving core. The receiving core is a little bit, I think it was a little bit deeper just because of the names on it last year, right? You had Marcus Johnson, Josh Reynolds, Julio Jones, AJ Brown, and then didn't really see much from any of them in the regular season because Josh Reynolds, he got traded. Marcus Johnson got hurt. Julio Jones couldn't stay on the field. AJ Brown on and off. But I think that's going to be huge, especially for a guy like Kyle Phillips, who coming into this year, nobody really thought that. I mean, maybe the coaches thought, but from an outsider looking in, he got drafted, but the main receiver, rookie receiver I was focusing on and majority of people were focusing on was Treylon Burks. And now I think that Kyle Phillips has an awesome opportunity to be that slot guy based off his, you know, freakish athletic ability, his speed, and just the relationship and the chemistry that he has built with Ryan Tannehill. And he also is a special teams guy. And it was funny, after practice, there was an interview with Kyle Phillips and somebody asked him, you know, what does it take to be a punt returner? And he was like, you really just got to be crazy to do it. And if you think about that, that is probably one of the craziest positions. You are just waiting there as an entire NFL football team is just rushing towards you. So that just gives, like, I'm playing for my life out there. I'm crazy. You know what I mean? And I, that dog mentality, and definitely have seen that from Kyle Phillips. And we know that any coach, and specifically Mike Vrabel, because he's mentioned it about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and he's mentioned it about Kyle Phillips, is when you can have a versatile guy, when you can have a guy who can also play special teams, that is a guy you want to keep on the roster. He's mentioned Roger McCreary. He's also another versatile guy that they have been really, really high on. Roger McCreary, want to switch sides a little bit to defense. Roger McCreary, another rookie who I think could be similar to Kyle Phillips in the role that he is going to be playing on the defense this year. That coming up next on the Michelle Knezevic Show. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in the Michelle Knezevic Show. Final segment of the day, rounding out your Saturday. And I cannot believe I forgot to mention this on Twitter. Jay Titans on Twitter said, don't forget NWI. How could I forget Nick Westbrook-Ikhina? But we all know that he's going to be a solid option for Ryan Tannehill. I was just speaking specifically on, you know, some of the new guys coming in and him building the chemistry from them. But listen, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is, he's a receiver I'm not worried about. We saw what he did last year, and I think he is built on that in the offseason, in training camp. He looks really, really good out there with Ryan Tannehill. He's also going to be another guy who's going to be a solid option. I think he could have a big year for the Tennessee Titans. But as I mentioned before the break, Roger McCreary, a rookie coming in third round out of Auburn, and got a chance to speak to him at SEC Media Days when I was down there with Caroline Fenton. We covered the entire week in Atlanta, and Roger McCreary was sponsoring his beans. He is the bean connoisseur of Bush's beans, Roger Beans, the official bean of the SEC, which is just incredible in its own right. But we got to talk to him before training camp, and now to see kind of what he said, you know, about getting prepared for training camp, and just, he just seemed like he was really, really open to learning. And he seemed like a guy who was, I don't know how to exactly explain it, but heading into training camp, just like mind wide open, ready to learn absolutely everything. And we have really, really seen that. And we've seen him be able to translate it onto the field. And I think not only have we seen it on the field, and we've seen it from Shane Bowen, one of Shane Bowen's earlier press conferences in training camp, when asked about Roger McCreary, straight up said, he doesn't feel like a rookie. He feels like a guy who can play every single position back there. And that is very, very hard, not only for a rookie, but any player in the NFL. Shane Bowen said that he sees these positions as completely different positions, not just, you know, in the secondary, and it's kind of all the same back there, but he sees them as completely different positions to learn, and that Roger has been able to come in and learn them really, really well. And I think that this can be something that is great for the Tennessee Titans, because you have a young room back there, right? You've got Christian Fulton, who is the oldest, which is crazy to say because he's still such a young guy. You've got Caleb Farley back there. You've got Roger McCreary. But I think the plus of Roger McCreary, of him knowing all these different positions, is that you can plug and play him, right? So this week, I heavily focused on Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, who held his own against Julio Jones, and even said that he got to talk to Julio after the fact, and Julio gave him some pointers. And I think that Christian Fulton's going to have a really huge year. I think that he needs to. I think he needs to take that next step as far as, you know, a leader in that room over these younger guys when he's really not even that much older. But I think that he's going to have a big jump this year. And I think we've seen a little bit of that on the practice field, especially with him hanging with a Julio Jones, Hall of Fame receiver someday, and Julio, who looked pretty healthy out there and looked pretty explosive. But Mike Vrabel spoke on Caleb Farley and Roger McCreary earlier this week on how they've been, you know, performing with the Tampa Bay Bucks coming into town. Here was that sound from Mike Vrabel.
How did you have a really big bounce back day? And it sounded like he said he watched film. He knew what he did wrong. He came out and intent to set it straight. Did you see that?
Absolutely. If
you know, from what I saw, I think he was, you know, again, he comes in with a great attitude every single day. I mean, it's had a long rehab, and he spent a lot of time in his building in the off season, and he wants to be good. He wants to help us. He wants to define a role for himself. And I think he was exhausted. I think he was excited about coming out here and practicing. And I mean, early on in practice, he looked like he was worn out. And, you know, we've talked about that to our entire team about making sure that, you know, we're not so anxious about the practice or the game that's going to happen. You know, we have to be able to stay neutral, stay in the moment, and then execute when the ball snap. We have to save every ounce of energy that we have for the play.
Things you like from McCreary after seeing him these last couple of days, going against different receivers than your own?
Yeah, you know, Roger's competitive. I think he's challenges. He's, you know, he's very coachable. You know, he loves to be coached, and, you know, they may catch a couple on him, but he's going to keep competing, and he challenges and, you know, comes up with a lot of ball production.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier this week on Caleb Farley and Roger McCreary. Jared, those are two guys specifically that I am going to be focusing on in tonight's game, especially Caleb Farley. I think we've been able to see Roger McCreary be able to stack those days in practice, but Caleb Farley, and as Mike Vrabel mentioned in that sound clip, you know, he came out a little bit too hard, I guess you could say, in that first Bucks practice and didn't have the best day, and then was able to flip it around for the next day. But I think, and Ben Arthur and I talked about this earlier, what we need to see from him is consistency, right? He's coming, and he tore his ACL not long ago, and I think it's very easy for us to forget about that just because injuries have been surrounding his entire NFL career so far, and this is all we've been able to see for him, but he hasn't been on a football field in so long. So I think just if we're able to see, you know, some consistent play out there tonight, that's going to be promising heading into the season and heading into the Cardinals next week. What about for you, Jared?
Yeah, agreed. I think it would be nice to see him string a couple of, you know, good practices, good workouts, good games going into the season, just to kind of build that momentum for him and just to kind of get him into the right mindset, like not trying to overdo it, but just kind of staying in the moment. Like, there's so many battles right now, but I mean, of course, tonight, you know, we're going to see a lot more of the backup players, which is understandable. That's what we really need to see right now, is because they're fighting for spots on this roster. Obviously, too, going down a little bit more down the pipe, when we start getting to like final cuts, you know, we could see some moving pieces, maybe some more people come in, maybe some people ship out.
Well, and that was a big talking point earlier this week about, I mean, not even just earlier this week, but throughout the entire season, is who will be the starting right tackle for the Tennessee Titans. We've seen Dylan Raidens and Nicholas Petit-Frere pretty much split reps. That's another position that I'm going to be really focusing in on tonight. And then, of course, quarterback, whether it's going to be Malik Willis, whether it's going to be Logan Woodside. But I've asked people who you think is going to start week one against the Giants at right tackle. I've had people say Dylan Raidens. I've had people say Nicholas Petit-Frere. And I've had people say somebody who's not even on this roster. So specific positions that I'm going to be looking for tonight, I'm going to be covering the game for the station, tweeting on Twitter at 1025 the game, also at Michelle KNEZOV, because my name is too long for a Twitter handle. Specifically right tackle, specifically Malik Willis, Logan Woodside at quarterback, and corners and that secondary. And then, of course, you know, some Treylon Burks if he's out there, depending on how many snaps that he's going to be out there today. I hope everybody had a wonderful Saturday. Football is back, baby. First NFL game in Nissan Stadium tonight, 6 p.m. Titans, Bucks. What a great day. And next Saturday, we're going to have some college football. Jared, we'll be back here next Saturday. Same time, same place. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.